It's good to be here with you today. As we start this week's revival, you think about the meaning of the word revival. Re means again, vival means to live. What's it going to mean to you this week? Is it going to be a time to live? You say, well, you know, preachers, it's going to be one of them revivals we have every year. It's never really done any good, helped me, changed me. Well, we got to remember, we're going to get out of it what we put into it. If you bring an open mind, you bring your Bible with you, you bring your thoughts with you, and if some things you want to change about your life, remember, you can change those things. The Bible is a book of changing people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, Paul says, as he describes his life, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, he said a mouthful, didn't he? He really did. But Paul said, this is what my life is about, of how I live. Now think about casting down imaginations. How much do we imagine? How much do our mind just kind of run wild and we think of things and it gets worse and worse? And or somebody does something to you that's bad. What do? We think about it. Sometimes we talk about it. What happens then? Well, it seems to get worse, doesn't it? And we get more angrier, don't we? And we can't seem to put it out of our mind because our imagination has just run wild. We seem to be out of control. And our thoughts are not captive. On the board I've written, the sins of our heart are fortified by long indulgence. That's the way we've lived for years and years. Hard to change. Old habits are hard to break. And in this fort, they're there. These sins are in this fort. They're fortified because they've been there so long. And by the hold they have on the sinner. And friends, they will get a hold on them. That's right. And your thoughts will run wild. Your imaginations will not be what they should be. And you, what you have is strongholds. How many of us have got some strongholds? Stranglehold. They got a stranglehold on you. You ever have anything like that? You just can't seem to quit. You can't seem to turn it loose. Because it's got you by the throat, so to speak. Now, Paul says here about pulling down of strongholds. Can I really get rid of this? Can I really quit this? Is this something that I can actually do? It's been with me for years and years. Well, we know there's some sins that are, we know there are some things we know they're wrong, okay? It's obvious to know they're wrong. Lying, gambling, cheating, fornication, adultery. We know these things are wrong. It's just some things don't seem quite as bad. You ever have something like that in your life? It's funny. I guess it's not funny. It's not a good word, but it's strange how we are, because someone else's sins looks worse than my sin. Donald Thompson said one time, I see somebody else's sin a mile off. It's hard for me to see my sin. And I thought, I can relate to that. Because my sins are hard to see. The Bible even talks about that. The way of every man is clean in his own eyes. And so we kind of clean it up so we won't feel quite as bad. And so maybe strongholds to you is different from my stronghold. I can go into a grocery store, a store. I can walk right by the cigarettes and tobacco and the beer. You know what I have a hard time walking by? A Snicker bar. Oh, yeah, I'm serious. I like it. They got the king size, too. They do. I like those Snicker bars. That's a stronghold of mine. Chocolate. I love chocolate. Some things, though, it may not bother you whatsoever. You may can just say, well, no, I don't care a thing about it. People are that way. That's right. So we're different, aren't we? And we've got certain things that bother us that don't bother other people, and it bothers them but don't bother us. But what about sin? What about some sins in our life? Some things that are wrong and we know they're wrong. Some things that are not hardly as bad. What would that be? How many of you go to church on Wednesday night and Sunday night? Well, I do, but I really don't think there's nothing wrong with missing. It'd be okay if you miss. You think so? The Bible says be ready for every good work, and so we're just going, the church is going to meet, but we're not going to be there? But we don't feel like that's in the same class as telling a lie, do we? Now, telling a lie, that's something we don't do. You know, I don't do that. You exaggerate? Do you exaggerate? Well, you lie if you exaggerate. Do you know that? An exaggeration is a lie. If you don't tell it just like it is, if you exaggerate, you've lied. And we know what the Bible says in Revelation is about all liars is going to hell. Don't we? So, lying, we know that's very bad. But missing Wednesday night, Sunday night services, that's not quite as bad, we think. And some things, it's kind of hard to imagine it being bad. Things we do. Our selfish ambition sometimes. But they're strongholds. And they've got a grip on us. And we don't like to turn them loose. Think about this. Whatever it is it helping me or hurting me? Is it helping me or hurting me? How many people will this help, what I'm doing? How many people, what I'm doing with my life, is it helping? Is it worth my time? Something that's your stronghold. Is it helping you? Is it killing you? How many people is it helping? Do I recognize my bad strongholds? Sometimes it's hard to, isn't it? In Luke chapter 18, we read a story here of two men. And it said they went to pray. Verse 10 of Luke 18. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The publican is a tax collector. They were usually crooked. They were usually despised. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. His thoughts were not right. Have we ever done that? And we know if somebody sinned, we say, well, I'm glad I don't do that. I'm glad I don't live that way. I'm not like them. I don't dress that way. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, they're crooks, extortioners are crooks, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican says, I'm better than this publican over here. The Pharisee said that. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up his eye so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this. This man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Friends, this may be one of our things that we do. We may brag. We may have pride. We may look in the mirror and we may comb our hair and we say, well, you know, I look pretty good. You do that? I'm smart. I understand things. That may be something that's your stronghold. That may be something you need to cast down as you bring your thoughts into captivity about yourself. You may live with somebody that's got some bad strongholds. Have you ever thought about that? To living with somebody that lies and curses and swears? Well, I remember hearing a girl one time talk about her husband. He was addicted to drugs. She said, I don't give him money to go buy a loaf of bread. And, you know, this just floored me. No. You don't give him money to go pay the bills. He doesn't pay the bills. Think about living with somebody like that. She's still with him. He's changed. Praise the Lord. She's my cousin. Her husband has changed. He's just a better person than he used to be. You may live with somebody that's like that. And it would be tough. What if you live with somebody that was unfaithful to you? And when they leave, you don't know where they're going. You don't know when they're coming back. You don't know what's going on in their life when you're not with them. Like I heard a man say one day, he said, talking about this woman, said, his friend's wife said, he don't know what's going on with her unless he's got his hands on her. What? He's got to be with her to know what she's doing. That is so sad, isn't it? Unless he's right there with her, he don't know what she's doing. Casting down strongholds, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and what is right. And that's what Paul is talking about here in this chapter. He's talking about, I'm going to put these things behind me, beside me, away from me, and I'm going to bring my thoughts into captivity to the obedience of God. And friends, you're not going to do this if you read that trashy books and you watch those trashy programs, because you're going to think those trashy thoughts. That's right. You're not going to bring your thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's not going to happen living that way. Evaluate the stronghold against the alternative. In Romans 8 and 18, Paul talks here about our sufferings. And he says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And friends, in this life, we suffer. I told you, I asked for prayer this morning about Sister Patty Anderson. Her and her husband is somebody that Sue and I have traveled with quite a bit. She was diagnosed last August of having cancer of the pancreas. And he told her then, said, you've got 6 to 9 months to live. And as you know, it's been over 9 months. She's gotten very sick. She's been sick for some time, but she's last few days it's gotten worse. Suffering. We see people suffer, and we don't understand. She's very strong in the Lord, has a very strong faith. We don't understand that sometimes. And we're going to suffer in this life. It may be physical. It may be mental. We don't know what life holds for us. But Paul says here, the suffering of this present time is not to be compared with what we shall receive someday. See, friends, we're looking for a better place than this world we're living in. We're looking for a place where there will be no sorrow, no pain, no separation, no death, no crying. All these former things will be passed away in that place called heaven. Evaluate against our alternative. Is it worth it? In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 11, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Don't let anybody take your crown of life away. Don't follow them into sin. Don't be partakers of another man's sin. People you're running with, you know what they're doing. You know it's wrong what they're doing. Stay away from them. A friend of mine told me just last year, classmate of mine, at our reunion, I guess it was, maybe our planning committee. He's talking about what I didn't know he did this, but he says, "My mother sent me to Texas when I got out of high school to keep me away from another one of our classmates," which I knew him, "to keep me from being put in prison. Because if I kept running with him, that's where I was going." His mother knew that. He didn't need to run. He didn't need to be with them, to be with that bad company. Don't let anybody take away your crown. Whatever it is, let it go when it's wrong. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 18, it reminds us there to flee fornication. How much of that goes on today? Boys and girls living together. Are you surprised when you hear of someone that you know that's doing that? Are you really surprised? Come on now. We hear about it so much. Are we surprised to hear it? Is sin still shocking to you? 50 years ago, it would have been surprising. Have we got accustomed to sin? To fornication? He also says, in 1 Corinthians 10 and 14, flee from idolatry. What is that? Well, you say, well, it's worshiping a golden calf or something like that. That's not all he's talking about. You can let your car be your idol. That's right. You can let your house be your idol. You can let your clothes be your idol. You know, we've got traditions we do in this world, in America. What are some of those traditions? Well, we got to have a new dress every Easter, hadn't we? Is that right? I mean, that's if you're going to go to a wedding, you sure got to have a new dress, hadn't you? New outfit. And you couldn't wear it to the wedding the next week, the same dress, could you? Well, that'd be awful. You ever think about that? How we are? It's got a stronghold on us too. We feel like there's certain things that we need to do. Why? Who started that? Does that make any sense to you? When you get right there and think about it. Who are we trying to impress? Who are we trying to impress? These are strongholds that we may be doing, we may need to look real closely at. Because we've got a closet full of clothes, I'd say most of us do. Plenty of food in the freezer, in the pantry. But we idolize things like that. And we make it and he says, flee from idolatry. Flee from fornication. Change your goals in life. What are your goals? In First Timothy chapter 6, in verse 6, Paul says this: godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Do you think you could be content with food and clothing? Clothing, shelter be included in clothing. Do you really think you could be content with food and clothing? Have we always got to have the best? What is our idol? Paul said an awful lot right here. Because we get involved in things. And we've done it over a long period of time. It's hard to change. Is it? It's hard to not do those things we've done for years. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a trap or a snare, he calls it. And he says they fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts. And friends, that's going to be a problem here, because when we fall into foolish lust, we sometimes get ourselves in debt. And people sometimes have to file bankruptcy simply because of their lust. In it many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. How many people has that happened to? The love of money. As one woman said, the old money hogs. Well, does that describe me or you? The love of money, they veer from the faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. You pierced yourself with troubles because of your love of money. And it's got a stronghold on you. You know, I saw a lady just the other day. I ain't seen her in years and years. Didn't know who she was, so she told me who she was. She's from little town we're from over in Tallahassee. And she was talking about her sister. And I don't know why she said this. She said, well, I don't ever see my sister much anymore. Said all her life is about is making money. That's what her life is about, making money. And why she came out with that, I have no idea. I know her sister. I used to work with her sister's husband many years ago. I don't know how, if she described it accurately or not. I don't know. But think about what the Bible says about this very problem right here. And it could be a stronghold on us if we have this love of money. How can I build spiritual strongholds? You ever wonder about that? You say, okay, now I know... Try to look at your strongholds you feel like are wrong, okay? Or you know they're wrong. Some are obviously wrong. We know that. We know some are just sin. But some others we kind of put it in a gray area. We really don't like it, but we want to get rid of it. So how can I build spiritual strongholds? In the book of Psalms, the first chapter, David says some beautiful things here about blessings and blessings of a man. And notice what he says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that does not listen to the advice of ungodly people. Don't listen to their counsel. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Don't associate with sinners. You're going to have them on the job sometime, but you don't have to associate with them after work. Now sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Have you ever seen people like that? They just whine and complain. They're scornful all the time. You don't like to be around them. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, friends, that is a key to building spiritual strongholds, to delighting in God's law. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, you're talking about bringing every thought into captivity. If you meditate on God's law night and day, I believe we all can see that we will bring our thoughts into the right captivity for God. We think a lot, don't we? When this morning I'm coming up here, thoughts are running through my mind. I'm thinking about what I'm going to speak on this morning. And if you publicly speak, you know that you get some thoughts and you make a note of it. And that's, I did it this morning. Sometimes I'll be riding in the car and I'll have my paper beside me and I won't be able to look at it, but I can write down enough where I know when I get to where I can stop, I remember what I was thinking of, because sometimes I forget what I was thinking of. But we have a lot of thoughts. And so we need to meditate, he says, on God's law night and day. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now, friends, look what David says. You want to bring forth fruit, don't you? Good fruit. Don't you want your life to be fruitful? Don't you want that? And you want to bring forth fruit in your season or in your life, okay? I don't want my life to be wasted, do you? I don't want it to be said of me, it'd been better off I'd never lived. And so that's what David's talking about here. You bring forth fruit in your life. You meditate on God's law. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, he says, but are like the chaff which which the wind driveth away. It is blown about. So he tells us there what we should do to take delight in God's counsel. Number two, refocus from what I want to what I've got. Refocus from what I want to what I've got. That's not easy to do, because you see other people having more, don't you? But refocus on what you've got. Count your blessings. Don't focus on what you want. Don't think about that. Think about what you've got right now. Your blessings you've got right now. In Philippians 4, in verse 11, Paul says here about himself, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He said, what I've got, I can be content with. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I am instructed how to live with what I got within my means. See what he's saying? So refocus, not on what you're wanting, but what you've already got. Trust in God instead of yourself to make things happen. Always have faith in God. Without faith, we're told it's impossible to please God. Always trust in God. See, the Bible, friends, is filled with God telling you and I to believe in Him. Over and over and over and over. But we're kind of taught different, see, in this world. See, from early age, we're taught to go to school, get an education, be on your own. Aren't we? See? But God always says, you count on me. I'll always take care of you. You can always depend on me and always depend on God for everything. He even tells you to ask him for wisdom. Do you know that? He even tells you to ask for his spirit. That's right. That's right. Ask God for his spirit to be with you. Ask him for wisdom. Trust in God. Guard your spiritual strongholds. Guard those things you know are right. You know you should be doing. Be sure you keep doing those things. And friends, one of the highest goals in this life is to be someone else's spiritual stronghold. That's one of your highest goals in life, that you can be a spiritual stronghold for somebody else. Somebody's watching you. You never know when. You never know who. They're listening to you. They're watching what you do, how you live your life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talked about his life here. And he says in verse 24, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run," he says, "not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I make myself do what is right." I make myself do it. I bring my body into subjection, lest it by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 3 says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Paul says, you have these mighty weapons because of God. To the pulling down of strongholds, you can get rid of things that are strongholds that are sin. Casting down imaginations, you can change what you think about. We can do that. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. He's talking about pride. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yes, my friends, we can change our life through God's help. We can do it. Whatever it is about your life that's wrong, let it go. Turn it loose. Turn your back on it. Cast it down. Do not let it rule your life. As we stand this morning and sing a song of invitation, if you're not a member of the church, we ask you today to come to be baptized. Why not today that you do that? If you are a member, you've gone away, you've gone astray, please come back today and ask for forgiveness and ask for prayer. God will forgive you. Won't you come us together? We stand and we sing.
love, which represents Jesus Christ's broken body as he hung it out on the cross for our sins. Please let us take it in a way that we'll be able to place it in our side. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Lord, thank you for this coat of judgment, Christ's blood that he shed as he hung on a cruel cross. Please let us save us in a worthy manner. Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Now we have the opportunity to lay behind the stove. Any brother word or any announcements? Again, we'd like to say that we appreciate all of you being here with us today. We invite you back tonight as our revival continues at 6 and then Monday through Friday, each night at 7. We invite you back and ask that you invite somebody to come with you so that we might get as many souls here to hear the word as we can throughout the week. If there be nothing else, we'll stand and sing the first and third, number 17. Call on Brother Wayne Spratt if you would to dismiss. 17.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son.
Many good thoughts will be brought to us, and many people